Like to say good morning to everyone. We're very thankful this morning to have each and every person on the call, especially those who may not be members of the Church of Christ. We welcome you to our worship service at the Church of Christ in Highland Heights, Houston, Texas. We thank you for selecting to come on and be with us. We pray now you open your Bible. We hope and pray you're seeking true worship, that you want to be saved. And to do that, you got to believe that the Bible is right. Every word of the Bible is right, for that's what we believe. And we believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on Calvary, shed his blood, and washed his sins away in baptism, the same blood, purchased his church, the only church you read about in the Bible, that is the Church of Christ. And so we thank you for being with us. You experience a New Testament pattern of worship this morning where we sing without the help of mechanical instruments of music. We will pray. The word of God will be preached from the Bible. We have no man-made creed or doctrine that we follow. Open your Bible. That's what we believe in. And we'll give. We don't tithe in the churches of Christ. We believe in giving. And Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And so we do that. And now we just ask you, if you're seeking truth, to listen carefully to the things I talk about that pertain to the saving of your precious soul. And to those brothers and sisters across the nation who joined our call this morning, we got the Lord's call. We thank you so very much for being with us. We pray you will enjoy the worship service as well. If you fall by the wayside, that you'll come home, come back towards eternity too late. All right, continuing our study of the book of Acts, we're in Acts chapter 22 this morning, and we want to talk from the topic about the journey. As I took my journey, I made my journey. That's what Paul said, as I made my journey. In verse number 1, men and brethren and fathers, hear my defense, which I make now unto you. See, Paul says, to this predominantly Jewish audience who wants him dead for what he is teaching, he says, hear my defense. And I have to ask all of us, do we have a defense this morning by what you believe? Are you set to listen and to preach the truth and hear the truth? And have you heard the truth? Do you believe the truth? What is your religious background? What are you going to say? For you, what you've done to save your soul in defense of before God, when you stand before God in the heavenly court, what will be your defense? Paul has a defense here, and the Bible says here, and when they heard that he spake in Hebrew tongue to them, language is the Hebrew language to them, they kept him more silent, and he said, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city of Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the state of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Paul gets their attention here by, number one, speaking in their own language, the Hebrew language, so they could hear and understand what he was saying. He confirmed that he had a Jewish background. He confirmed that he was educated on a respected Jewish teacher named Gamaliel. He's confirming his past religious background was Judaism, like the people that are listening to him. He's confirming that he was one time zealous in that Judaism religion, just like them. He's confirming that he was so zealous under the Jewish religion that he persecuted Christians. And that men and women, both men and women, he was bringing them bound in chains to be put in prison and punished. But something's going to happen to Paul. One day, Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he's getting ready to take his journey. And so this today's application, all of us have a journey in life to take. All of us have a journey in life to take. And Paul talks about his journey. In verse number 6, and it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. Let me say right here, when he persecuted the men and women that were Christians, he was persecuting Christ and his church. Keep this in mind. What does this mean? One cannot have Christ without his church. Some people want Christ, but they don't want the church of Christ. But you can't have one without the other. When he persecuted Christ, when he persecuted the people, he was persecuting Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:23, Paul writes there, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he may present it, talking about the church, to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Paul also said in verse number 4, I persecuted, in Acts 22, I persecuted this way. In John 14, 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The only way to the Father is through the church of Christ. It's through Christ and his church. They go together. On your journey, to those who are on the call who are not members of the church of Christ, on your journey, in your defense, standing before God, will you be able to say that you went that one way, that you found Christ and you found his church? Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're seeking Christ, if you're seeking true worship, you can only find Christ in one church, because the Bible teaches there's but one church. And that in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says there, Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. Ephesians 1:22 tells us that body is the church. Colossians 1:18 and Colossians 1:24 tell us the body is the church. So there is but one church. There's but one Lord, there's one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. Ephesians 4:4-6. So when we look at the single way to get to heaven, there's a straight and a narrow way. Matthew 7:13-14. Jesus said, enter in that straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many will go that way. And we know now that Paul is teaching them, and what I'm sharing with you is that when he persecuted Christ, he persecuted the church of Christ. They go together. And the Bible teaches us, my friends, the saved are in the church, Acts 2 and verse 47. There's only one church, and a person who is saved, according to the Bible, is in that one church, the church of Christ. Now, let's go back to Paul's journey. Let's start back in verse 6 again. And it came to pass that as I made my journey, it was coming nigh unto Damascus about noon. Suddenly, there shined from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell unto the ground, heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? Saul, Paul says, he answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecuted. Now verse 9. And they that were with me, there was other men with Paul, saw indeed the light, and were afraid. It was a tension getter here. But they heard not the voice of him that spake. So God, Jesus spoke directly to Paul, and there's no one today. He's going to speak directly to you. You got to hear God today through his word. All the scriptures given by the inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof and correction, instruction in righteousness. So no one is going to get what Paul got here. Paul was, Jesus had targeted Paul to be the voice for the Gentiles. All the apostles were said in the church, here's Paul, last one of all the apostles. Here he is. Here's how his conversion took place. He says, the Lord talked to me directly. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, arise and go into Damascus, And there it shall be told thee of all things appointed, all things which are appointed for thee to do. So Paul didn't know what to do. And so when you don't know what to do, you need to ask what to do. So when he asked, he said, Lord, what shall I do? He know. He's been confronted by God. And on our journey in life, you're going to be confronted by God. With all of the travails and things that go on in life, there is situations in life with God. I get a story of a young man pushing his brother down the sidewalk in a wheelchair. I told this, for many have heard it before. And the wheelchair toppled over in the ditch. And so he couldn't get his brother out of the ditch, so he started throwing rocks at cars. And no one would stop. So the young boy picked up a brick. And the next car that came by, he drew back and threw a brick at that car and it stopped. And the driver of the car got up and said, what are you doing hitting my new car with that brick? He said, sir, I've been throwing rocks all day long. No one would stop. So I had to throw a brick because my brother need help. See, what I'm saying is that on your journey, on our journey, God will get our attention some kind of way. Have you been hit with a brick this morning on your journey? Are you waiting on the brick? Have God been throwing rocks all this time trying to get your attention? And then something terrible can happen. Something tough happens. Someone you lose, someone you love. Are you going through something? You get diagnosed with something that you weren't ready for. That's a brick. It's a brick called a sore travail. What that means is at times on our journey, there's going to be time we need to know, Lord, what to do. What should I do? When you start thinking about your soul salvation, many people, when they get sick or they start thinking, I'm going to die, then they want to know, what I got to do? You guys, going to come a time on our journey when we got to listen to what we must do. Here's Saul of Tarsus, the Paul, who wanted to know from the Lord what to do. He said, you got to be told what to do. You remember last week when we talked about Paul, he was just a man. Paul made some mistakes. But he became a gospel preacher. And the role of the gospel preacher today is to share the gospel and to tell people what to do. That's my job. That's my role as a minister, as an evangelist, as a preacher of the word of God, preacher of the gospel. My job is to tell you what to do. And you have to do what to do. You have to do what's been told you to do, because not because I'm telling you, but because that's what the word of God teaches. Paul asked, what shall I do? And he's going to get an answer from a man named Ananias. He would answer this question for Paul. The Jews asked, what shall we do on the day of Pentecost? The apostle Peter answered them and told them to repent and be baptized, Acts 2:30. They wanted to know what to do. The Philippian jailer in Acts 16:30, he wanted to know what to do. Paul answered him, God, my friends, have put his words in the book we call the Bible. It's also known as the Scriptures. The word of God. We must do what the word of God say do. When we learn we are doing these things contrary to what God's word teach, we must change and do it according to his word. Many times people think they're doing the right thing, as we can see here with Saul. But in the end, you're fighting against God. You're kicking against the prick. Jesus told Saul to go into Damascus, and someone will tell you what to do. My question this morning to all those listening, and I'm particularly talking to those who are not members of the Church of Christ right now. Are you on your journey? Do you have a sincere desire to know what to do from the Word of God? You say, why you say sincere? Because there are many people who are sincere, honest, but still lost. Because what they're doing, they want to do what they think God told them. Paul said in Romans 10 about the Israelites, He said, "Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record, they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they've been ignorant of God's rights, they've gone about to establish their own, and have not submitted to the will of God." Now, if you are in that situation where you are seeking God for truth, in John 4:23, Jesus said, "The hour coming, and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeketh such." So God is seeking you only when you are seeking to be a true worshiper. In this case, here's Paul. He's on his journey. I'm asking you on your journey, have you been sincere in your seeking? You say, "Well, Brother Brooks, I just believe as long as I'm good in my heart and I love God, I'm going to heaven." Well, there's going to be other people up there like that. When they stand before God and their defense is, "I had my own belief. I didn't listen to you. I didn't listen to the preached word." In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say unto me that day, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, and thy name cast out devils, and thy name done many wonderful works?" Here they are. They're standing before God in this defense. And Jesus said, I profess unto them, I never knew you. You were a worker of iniquity." In other words, you went to about to establish your own way to get to heaven, and now you're going to be lost. So don't do that. Here's your journey. On your journey, you got to ask what to do, and you got to be wait. You got to wait to be told what to do by the man of God. The man of God. We're going to see that. Let's go back to Acts 22, verse 11. When Paul says on his journey, he said, now, he got the point, "I could not see." He said, "I could not see for the glory of that light." See, on your journey, my friend, all of us ought to have a day where we see the glory of the light. In other words, you see the truth. The light comes on. You can see it clearly. You don't have no problem with baptism because the light's on. You have no problem with one church when the light comes on. The glory of the light is the glory of the truth. When you know the truth, and I'm going to say this to members of the Church of Christ, people who don't want to obey the truth, they're not going to see the light. They're going to keep seeing darkness. They're going to stay in darkness. And they're going to walk in darkness because they have their own belief system, and it's not truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Jesus is the way. And when you know the way, then you'll know the light, because he is light. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. When you see the glory of the light on your journey, you'll be like me and many on this call listening. When we heard the truth, we believed the truth, we repented of our sins, we confessed Jesus to be the Son of God before man, and we were baptized because we saw the light. When you see the light, there's no question of the light. You don't question one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. You believe it. That's when you see the light. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Now, Paul says, "Well, I could not see for the glory of the light and being led by hand of them that were with me, I came to Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there." Remember, last week his audience, the Jewish people, was predominantly his audience. And this is the people that are trying to kill him. So he's standing up. He's been warned before he got to Jerusalem that this was going to happen. There's going to be some problems there. He stands with his defense, stands before his audience, and he referenced here to the Jewish audience. Okay. "There's one Ananias, a devout man, according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews." He let them know there was a Jew that taught me what to do. "Listen to him. He come unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul." He said, why do you call him Brother Saul? They were both in the Jewish religion before, right? Remember, before Christianity, there was nothing but Judaism. And so here it is. He said, "Receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked upon him, and he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee. Thou shouldst know his will and see that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth." Now, to know his just will, the will of God is for all men to be saved. But they must be saved. They can only be saved, rather, when they do the will of God. They know what the will of God is. The will of God is written in the scriptures and doctrine. If any man would do his will, you shall know of the doctrine. You've got to know the teachings of the scripture. Teaching of the New Testament tell us what to do to be saved. And then he said in verse 15, but thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. See, even today, we're reading about Paul's journey. And the Bible said it. He will be witness to all men of what thou hast seen and heard. Now, we're reading in Acts 9 and Acts 22. We read of Paul's journey. And so then he says in verse 16, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, this is Ananias. He's talking to Saul before he became Paul. Saul is in a situation on the road to Damascus where Jesus has got his attention. And he wanted to know what to do. So on his journey, it's time for him to learn what to do. And Ananias asked him, he said, why tarriest thou? He said, why would you ask that? Then turn to Acts chapter 9. There's another, Paul talks about his conversion again in Acts chapter 9, then Acts 22. So let's go back to Acts 9, another version of what happened to Paul there. Verse 1. And Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he may bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, here it is, he came near to Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecuted. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. So here's some things right here in this account, not in the Acts 22 account. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He was kicking against the truth. And you can kick against the truth. And maybe you're kicking against it this morning. You say, I don't believe that everybody got to be in the church. God to say, well, you're just kicking against the pricks because Christ was the one who said it. You can do that. But when you kick against the pricks, there's pain to come with it on your journey. Be careful about kicking against the prick. Be careful about rejecting the truth as written in the scripture. You're rejecting God, and you're rejecting not me, because I'm the only preacher. You're rejecting the word of God. And look at Paul in verse number 6. And he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what would I have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told what to do. And the men which journeyed with me stood speechless, hearing a voice, seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus. He was 3 days without sight, neither did he eat nor did he drink. Listen to this. And there came certain disciples of Damascus named Ananias, said to him in a vision, Ananias, said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judah for one called Saul of Tarsus. So Jesus is giving Ananias direction. And notice what Saul is doing. And behold, he prayed. See that? He prayed. That's important now. And had seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So Paul is receiving revelation from God. He's down praying. Look at that. The revelation. God, Jesus had already chosen him. He had already. No one today will ever experience what Paul is experiencing right here. Then Ananias answered the Lord. He said, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem, and how he had, and here he had authority for the chief priest to bind all that call on that name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel, see that, unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles. He's chosen to carry this truth to the Gentiles, the kings and children of Israel. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias has been approached by God to go and meet, go to Saul. And Ananias went his way. And entered into the house, put his hand on him, and said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou came, has sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight, be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately, he said, there fell from his eyes, as had been scales, he received sight forthwith, and arose, and was baptized. And look, let's go back. That's an Acts 9 account. Here's Paul telling his account himself. And notice what he says in verse 16. And Ananias said in verse 16, why tarriest thou? What was he doing? He was down praying. That's important because on your journey, there will be some preachers in this world today that tell people to be saved, they must pray a sinner's prayer. Now, that was the case. Everything would have been taken care of at Paul's prayer. The Bible says, Isaiah 59:1-2, the Lord says, now short, they cannot say, not that God cannot save, neither is your heaven that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Somebody said, Brother Brooks, he heard the Apostle Paul. No, he responded. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in my life. He knows without us ever praying when we're seeking the truth. He knows when a person is seeking the truth. If you're seeking the truth, God can read your mind. He knows. He's not like us. He's not like us. He knows about every number of hair on our head. The Lord don't see like we see. No, he doesn't see like we see because man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Now, if you're thinking right now that you want to be saved, and you've been seeking truth, you're on the call. You say, I've been praying to God. Here's what's going on with you. You've been seeking truth. God has provided me as the Ananias, and you are the Saul. He's providing for Saul. He's providing for Saul, the preacher, to tell him what to do. In 1 Samuel 16:7, look at this. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For the Lord looketh on the outward appearance. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. So what's going on with you right now? You've been born. And you on your journey to death. The end of this journey is death, you know that. In your life, and I don't know who's on this call, but it's somebody I'm talking to. If you're seeking truth, then you need to listen carefully. Because it comes a time in your life when you have a Damascus Road experience. You're on your journey. And God is responding. If you're seeking truth, it's one thing for you to seek truth. It's another thing. It's another thing when God is seeking you. When you are seeking truth, that's when God seeks you. But if you're not seeking truth, you're never going to obey truth. Because God only seeks those who are seeking to be true worshipers. That's John 4:23-24 again. So if you were on a call and some man had told you, what you got to do is pray the sinner's prayer. And that's the among Baptists, Methodists, and many predominantly denominational churches, what these preachers will tell you to do is repeat after me a sinner's prayer. Joel Osteen, Billy Graham, all the big-time preachers on TV, all they tell people, okay, no matter where you are, sit where you are and repeat after me the sinner. Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. I want you to forgive me for my sins. Save me. Nobody did that in the Bible. Paul was here. If that would be the case, Jesus would talk back to him and say, hey, you good now. No, then he said, go and let Ananias tell you what to do now. You want to be ready to be saved? You got to know what to do. And so Ananias told him what to do. Ananias said, arise, stop praying, because that's not what you need to do. You need to arise and be baptized. Why? and wash away your sin. So that's when baptism, what happens in baptism, that's when your sins are washed away. This is the same command that Jesus gave after he resurrected from the grave. That's what amazes me about some of these preachers in the world and people who listen to them. If you can read scripture and Jesus said, and it's red in your Bible, the red letter, if you have the red letter edition, that means Jesus actually saying this. So Jesus said, here's what you do. He tell every preacher, Mark 16:15-16, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. When I preach the gospel, I'm preaching how Jesus, how God loved you, how Jesus died and suffered on the cross, suffered with nails in his hands and his feet, shed his blood for the purpose of washing your sins away, and they buried him and he resurrected. That's the gospel. And that's written in the Word of God. And that's what I'm supposed to tell a person who wants to be saved. Verse 16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Not might be saved. He said, shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. So if you don't believe in baptism, you're going to be damned. If you don't believe what Christ said in the gospel, you're going to be damned. Here's the thing. If you believe that Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross, it's not because you saw it with your eyes, it's because it came from the Bible. So if you believe in Jesus because it came from the Bible, then why don't you believe in what you must be told to do by a gospel preacher? That's what I'm calling a gospel preacher. I'm calling gospel preachers. The gospel preachers preach the gospel, which I love to do, because men and women will respond to the love of God. And when they respond to God's love for them, for dying on the cross, for sending his son, for his son dying on the cross, they want to know what to do. Well, what you do? He said, just like Ananias told, arise and be baptized. Don't pray no sinner's prayer. No, that's not what the Bible didn't tell us that. The Bible didn't tell us that. John 9:31, we see there, for God hear not sinners. So Ananias didn't tell them. So have you done that on your journey? Have you? And I know I grew up in the Baptist church faith. Not that we went to church or something, nothing like that, but it was everything was about just praying the prayer, accept Jesus in your heart, and you say, no matter how you die, you say, you don't have to live faithful or nothing, as long as you accept Jesus at an early age as your personal Savior. That's what they say to us. That is not what the Bible teaches. And the Bible, my friends, never contradicts itself. You have to believe the Bible and do what the Bible said do. Ananias told Saul, arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Somebody said, well, the Bible said in Romans 10:13, for whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's true. This is true, but no one can call on the name of the Lord till their sins have been washed away. What washed away our sins? Revelation 1:5. Listen to this, Revelation 1:5. The Bible says there, from Jesus Christ, who was a faithful witness and first begotten of the dead and prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us, watch this now, from our sins in his own blood. What can wash away our sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. When do we contact the blood of Jesus? Well, Ananias told Saul, arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins. Well, wash away the sin? Blood. When does the sin get washed away? In baptism. Peter told us in 1 Peter 3:20, he said that baptism now also does save us, not to put away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. In other words, baptism, you don't get in the baptism pool to take a bath. You get in there by faith. You're stepping in baptism. You're stepping in there that your blood, the blood of believing, the blood of Jesus in there is going to wash away your sins. It's going to answer. It's going to have an answer. In other words, God going to forgive you of everything you ever done, and you come up a new creature, brand new, born again, regenerated, heir of God, and a joint heir, Jesus Christ. So my question to all the visitors on the call, who may be members of denominational churches, who may have never been baptized, or maybe you've been baptized 5 or 6 times, but you never found the Church of Christ. Well, all them 5 or 6 times wasn't right. There's only one baptism. That one baptism puts you to the one church. You say, Brother Brooke, are you saying I would have to be baptized again? Well, you've never been baptized according to the truth. No, you've never been baptized according to the truth. You just got wet. You did get wet, but did you obey the truth? My answer to you is no. You say, who's answering me? A gospel preacher. And that's what Jesus told Saul. Go down tonight. And I told him what to do. He didn't tell him to pray. He said, get up. Stop that. And start baptized. Get baptized. And if I taught you today that God didn't have a sin and you didn't know that, then you know you didn't obey the truth. If you want to accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and you believe the Bible, you're really seeking truth, the light just came on. The glory of the light came on for you. But if you want to just do what you want to do, nothing I'm saying don't really bother you, don't really click, because you can't see the light. You're walking in darkness. Now, let's go back to Paul's journey. In verse 17, it came to pass, Acts 22:17, that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. Yes? I was in a trance. Now he's praying. Why? His sins have been washed away. He's praying. Can you on your journey, can you say, I know today when I came up out of the water, I obeyed the truth. And Saul says here, he saw him, saying unto me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am imprisoned and beat in every synagogue, them that believed on thee. And when the blood of that martyr Stephen was shed, I was also was standing by consenting unto his death. Kept the raiment of them and slew him. And he's telling Jesus what all happened to Jesus. I already know all this. But he's recounting this. Paul is making known to the Lord about his past. Now I want to pause right there on your journey. Everybody on this call have a past. All of us got a past. And the answer to our past is forgiveness. There's nobody listening to me now that don't have a past of sin. Everybody. You say, what is the world's problem? What is the world's problem? You want to know what the world's problem is? Sin. Everything we see on TV, from drive-by shooting, homosexuality, same-sex marriage and divorce, people just doing divorce and doing anything they want to do. Say, man, what's going on in our world? Look here. You can blame everybody. You can blame the politics. You can blame the gun. You can blame everything you want to blame. But I'm going to tell you what the problem is. If you just really believe the Bible, if you believe the Bible, there is a simple answer to the problem in the White House. Sin. There's a simple answer to the problem in Houston, Texas, with all these people getting killed. Sin. Sin. If we get that in our head, the only thing that we have to focus on and making a difference in this world is living a Christian life before these people that give us a chance to teach them what to do to be saved so they can be forgiven of their sin. Because Christians who live according to the Bible, they won't be homosexual. They won't murder. They won't kill. They won't steal because they are living according to the Word of God. What can we do for our children? Teach them the Word of God. Teach them to live according to the Scripture. Is this world going to get better through a vote? Is it going to get better through some man walking on earth telling us what to do? In his opinion? Is it going to get better through the school systems? The world can only get better, even though God has told us the wickedness of men and evil seducers shall wax worse and worse. Now, what the difference we can make, highlight. This is why we must continue, and I hope our leaders are all listening to this, what I'm getting ready to say. We are an evangelistic congregation. This is the primary mission of the Church of Christ. And we cannot and will not, under my leadership, forsake the preaching of the cross and the saving of souls. It is not about how many people we can get into that building at Highlight. We have to expand, as we've done, outside of the walls of Highlight and be evangelistic-minded and save as many people we can. That's how we can make a difference in this world. And we've done that through the Nationwide. That's a great example of how we went outside of the walls in Howland Heights. Went outside of the walls of Howland Heights. And we must continue to go outside of these walls and into our community and into this world. Not just I'm not talking about just Acres Home where we are. I'm talking about anything we can do to get the gospel out to the world. We should be in support of that because that is the mission. That's how we make a difference on our journey. We're taking a journey. We all got a past. And we can only be grateful when we know our past was forgiven because we obeyed the truth. And when you obey the truth, you can be grateful and thankful to God that somebody told you what to do. I'm so thankful for the day of March 31st, 1985, when I was told what to do. And that's when I heard the gospel, and I was baptized in the Fieldboard Church of Christ. Thomas Foster told me what to do. Was that accidental, or was I seeking truth? I was seeking truth. And when you're seeking truth, there will be a man of God. God will provide, just like it did in Acts 8, you all. In Acts 8, the eunuch was seeking truth. He had been to worship in Jerusalem, and God sent Philip to him. Here's what we always teach in our evangelism program. God is not going to send someone to you lost if you don't know what to tell them what to do. You got to know what to tell a person what to do. Can you tell someone what to do to be saved? On your journey, are you grateful enough for what you've done to tell somebody else what you've done? You said, Brother, I don't know that much Bible. Every one of us on this call can tell people that now that we're members of the church, we can tell people our past. Here's my past. Here's what I've done. You don't have to have no Bible to tell the truth. Your Bible speaks for itself. If you just tell a person, I was living in sin. I heard the gospel. I believed that Jesus was the Son of God. I was baptized for the remission of my sins in water. I contacted the blood of Jesus, and I was added to the one true church, the Church of Christ. You want to come visit with me? You just told a person what to do and invited them to come hear the same thing you heard. That's evangelism. Every one of us can do that. But you have to have gratitude and appreciation for your past, knowing what you were before you heard the truth. What you were before someone told you what to do. To Paul and make it known to the Lord. His past. Here's where I was. These people know I beat up folk. They know I was standing there with Stephen when they stoned him. I was right there by him. He was supporting this killing of Stephen. But Paul obeyed the truth. But he had to have a Damascus Road experience. What is your journey like? You know, some people they jump in and out of everything. You jump in and out of anything. Just believe anything. On your journey, have you decided that the Bible is right on your journey? If you have decided that the Bible is right, there is nothing confusing. God is not the author of confusion. You can understand one God. You can understand one church. You can understand where it said baptism saves. It's not that you can't understand it. You just haven't chose to believe the Bible. I still believe saving in the church. Church, any church you can go to, that because you don't believe the Bible. So if you believe the Bible, you cannot say those kind of things. And you won't be confused. So on your journey, have you really decided what you're going to believe in before you die? There's nobody can tell us there's no one who came back from the graveyard. No one who's come back and said, you know what, that Bible ain't right. What are you going to decide what you're going to believe before you die? For me, I've chosen, I believe that the Bible is right, and it proves itself to be right over and over and over. Remember this. Just like Stephen was stoned, just like Paul went through his travails and suffering, all of us on our journey, sometimes we have stones thrown at us. But listen to Jesus in verse 21. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. See, God had a plan for Paul on his journey. And God is our protector. He had a plan for Paul. You know, we all got a mission here. What's the plan for me? What's the plan for you? To use your talent to share someone the gospel. Now, you can't be Brother Brooks. I can't be you. I always tell the ministers, students, Brother Foster told me, you can't be me and me, and I can't beat you being you. I was trying to be like Brother Foster. He was a guy I looked up to. But he told me, set me straight in ministerial class. You can't beat me being you. But I can't beat you being you. So all I'm saying to you is that every one of us on our journey have a mission. And on our journey, it ought to be on our record when we stand before God that I live the life that I share with others what they must do to be saved. Now, you're going to have some trouble in life. Just like here, Paul said, look here, Deep he wanted to kill me. But Jesus said, go. I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. So God, Jesus said, everything will be all right. He said, God is our protector. We have a hedge around us, just like Job, protected by God. Once you obey the gospel, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. That don't mean you're going to go through problems in life, but God is going to be the protector. God is our refuge. He's the one who takes care of us. Watch how Paul is protected. Watch how Paul is taken care of by the Lord. Once he obeyed it, the Lord took care of him. But it's just when you obey God, you trust in him, that he'll take care of you. Listen here. In verse 22, watch how Paul is protected. And they gave him audience unto his word, this word. And he then lifted up their voice and said, away with such a fellow from the earth, for he's not fit that he should live. These people weren't listening because they wanted to be saved. These people were listening because they wanted to kill Paul. People got bad motives today, just like this. They're not listening to be saved. The people in the religious world not wanting to be saved. They just want to debate and really... debates don't, in my opinion, don't even accomplish anything. I never heard anyone been saved from them. Yeah, we can present an argument, but we're not trying to win arguments, are we? We're trying to win souls. Then they cried out, cast off their clothes, and threw dust into the air. The chief captain commanded him to be bound into the count's castle and bade him that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. Scourging was beaten with a whip. Or thongs. In this case, they bound him with thongs. And Paul said unto the centurions that stood by him, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman? He said, is this okay? Y'all getting ready to whip me. I'm a Roman. Is that okay by the law? And see, so to scourge a Roman, to scourge another Roman, there was a serious penalty violating the rights of a Roman citizen. So Paul is using that for his defense. Also, this is God giving him a way out. God always provides a way out. And when the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, hey, take heed what that does, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yeah. The chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom? What did it cost? Paul said, I was born free. I was freeborn. The chief captain had to pay attention, had to pay for his citizenship. But Paul says his citizenship was free because his father was a Roman citizen. So what's going on here? This is God's providence. He's using the chief captain and the soldier to protect Paul from these people. Listen to verse 29. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And the chief captain also was afraid, and he knew that he was a Roman, because he had bound him. And on the morrow, because he would not have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his band and let him go. And commanded the chief priest and all the council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. He said, Brother Brooks, you see what's going on here? Is the Lord on your side? Is the Lord taking care of you? What is your defense? What's going on with your journey? Is when God respond to you because you're taking care of living the life you should be living as a Christian. What is your journey about when it comes to your way of living, to the religion you're in, and what you believe, and what you did to obey it? Are you like Paul? Do you have to have some kind of Damascus Road experience to change your life? Well, it could happen. It's not going to be by revelation. But many of our lives changed because we went through some painful experiences, things that were tough on us when we needed the Lord. And sometimes, as I talked about earlier, sometimes you just got to get hit with the brick. You got to get hit with something to cause you to start thinking about your salvation. That's why funerals are so powerful. The people who are seeing dead people, that's when they start thinking, man, I got to get my life right. Yeah, that's the time to tell people what to do to save their soul, because they're having this experience that says, I got to look at my own life. Who on this call this morning is going through something that you need to think about, and you are thinking about it. Because of what you're going through, you're thinking about it. Man, what must I do to be saved? What if I die like this? What if I die? Somebody on the call, you may have just got diagnosed with cancer. or you may be terminally, or maybe you're going through something that you don't know. You don't know what the end result's going to be. Are you thinking about your soul now? Sometimes you do things like that on the journey. God gives us a time when we reflect on our own lives and think about the wrongs in our life and think about the need for forgiveness and the need to have God in your life. Is God in your life on your journey? Have you obeyed? What are you going to say in defense of the dead judgment? You didn't know? You said, well, I didn't know. Lord, I didn't know there was that the Bible was right. I didn't know there was one church. I didn't know that they had to be baptized to be saved. I didn't know that. I didn't know that a few were going to make it. I didn't know that. I didn't know that you didn't hear a sinner's prayer. You can't say that no more because you've been on my call. That would be a lie because I told you. So what you got all day you can say now. I shouldn't have been on this call. That may be what you're saying. But the only thing you see on the judgment, Brother Brooke told me, that was my Ananias, and I rejected the truth. That's now on your record. On your journey, there is a record. And your record will speak for itself on the day of judgment. I want on my record that I obeyed the truth. I want on my record that I did the way God said do it. You don't want on your record that you heard the truth and you rejected it. John 12:48, Jesus said, he that rejected me received not my word and one that judged him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Remember that now. And you also said, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That every man must give an account, receive the thing done in his body, according that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Romans 10:14-10. Paul says, why does that judge that brother? Or why does that sinner not that brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, said the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account to himself, of himself, to God. Here's what I'm telling you. You on this call today, you will give an account for what you heard and why you didn't obey it. You have no excuse. Here's what I'm saying. On your journey as a visitor, visiting with us online, on this phone, on this day, July 11, 2021, you're on this call, maybe the first time you ever joined our call, but will you see the glory of the light? That's my question. So now as I close to members of church, on your journey, now that you've been baptized, now that you're in the church, are you faithful? On your journey, can you say, I've been faithful to the Lord in my attendance to worship, in my attendance to Bible class, in my life that I'm living? Do you make your confession when you mess up? Have you repented of your sin? Do you have a sin now that you're living in? Do you know what that is? Have you identified what it is? On your journey, you can't keep making excuses. On your journey, you can't fool God. On your journey, living the Christian life, you must live it to the best of your ability. Ask God to forgive you when you make mistakes. You have to repent. You have to decide not to do it no more in order to get forgiveness. It's not going to just happen without you repenting. The Lord's hand not short that he cannot save. Neither is your heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities separate you from God. Your sins have hid his face from you. He's not willing that we perish, but that we all come to repentance. So as Christians, I've talked to members of the Church of Christ. You know the truth. You have obeyed the truth. But you also know there's no such thing. Once you save, you always save. You also know on your journey, if you're attending Bible class. You also know if you're supporting the preaching of the gospel, as we talked about last week. You also know, are you giving your life to the cause of Christ? You also know if you're working. You also know if you're serving him. You also know if you're not forgiving others. You also know if you don't speak to a brother or sister in Christ. Brother Stroud talked to us about last week, how we live. You also know that you're not involved in saving souls. You haven't done anything. You know if you haven't done it. It's on your journey. It's on your record. You know what you're doing. You also know if you're causing trouble or dropping out of ministry or not submitting to leadership or having an uncooperative spirit or not using your talent for cause of Christ. You know, most people say, you talk to people about things and I know I need to do better. Well, if you know you need to do better, why don't you do it? Because that's on your record. That's going to be on your journey. It's on your journey. On your journey, you got to say, I know. You can't close your eyes to the facts of what your life is like and who you are as a Christian. To those visiting, I've been talking to you most of the call. To those who are visiting, not members of the Church of Christ, those who have gone, or now I'm going to talk to those who have gone back and left the church. You've gone back as a prodigal son, and you're on the call today. You know the truth. You have not been attending worship. Before we was at the building, you wouldn't come. Before the COVID, you wouldn't come to the building. Now you're on the call. Now you're listening. Now you're trying to come back home. That's good. You need to. You need to do this because on your journey, all of us can say there was a time when we wouldn't do it right. There's also be a time when I got it right. That can be. It should be on your journey that you got it right. There are people in the church crying. You going to congregation with them, left the truth. You know what they're doing is wrong, and you still go there. You're still doing things like that. You participate in those kind of services that, according to the scripture, will not be pleasing to God. So what is your defense on your journey? Why did you leave the Lord? Because you left the Lord because you still having trouble, financial trouble, problems, marital problems, or you're going through a bad divorce or something going wrong in your life. And then you leave the church. You stop coming to worship. You go back to the world. You start living out there. When are you going to come home? What about your journey? You're going to write this on your page. I returned. I came back. And you do this morning by saying, brother, sister, I have sinned. I'm coming home. I want to do better. You're good. That should be on your journey. You ought to be able to say that on your journey. So what are you going to say? I didn't know. Or you can sing a song like we sing, just like the prodigal son. I'm on my way back home, down on my bending knee, begging you to save this soul of mine. There's a fountain free, you all. The blood is flowing. God wants us to be. If we confess our faults one to another, he's just to forgive us. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, 1 John 1:5-5 verses. If we walk in the light as he's in the light, fellowship with him and the blood of Jesus cleanses. That's the beauty of being a Christian. And then to those who are not Christians, what are you going to say about your journey? You didn't know? What are you going to say? I didn't get baptized. I knew I should have. What are you going to say about calling a man reverend when the Bible says, Holy Reverend God, man, call a man father? Jesus said, call no man father, Matthew 23:7-9. What are you going to say about not taking the Lord's Supper every Sunday? What, brother? Yeah, every Sunday, Acts 20:7. Jesus gave a command. This you do in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul talked about that. 23 and the following verses. Jesus gave a direct command for us to take communion. How often did the Christians take it? Acts 20:7 tells us on the first day of the week. Every Sunday we drink in that blood. Why I was commanded. Are you drinking it? Are you taking of the bread? What are you going to do in the fence? What are you going to do? Are you going to continue to do that? Or maybe you're on your journey, you'll continue shacking, partying, clubbing, drinking, smoking, fornication, unfaithfulness, ignoring the truth, rejecting God, not walking, down the aisle, or taking an opportunity like this to get forgiveness. So I said, Brother Brooks, I know I need to, but right now, listen to Fix say things like this. I'm getting ready to close. Right now, I'm just trying to get myself together, and I'm going to come to the Lord. Do you know how crazy that sounds? Do you understand what you just said? That I can do it with Dr. God, and then I'm going to come to him when I got it together. That don't make sense, does it? No, it don't. This is what you should say. I need to come to the Lord to get my life right. Yes, you do. You start by being obedient to him. by hearing how Jesus suffered, bled, and died on the cross. You know how much Jesus went through for you? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. How they beat him with a whip. They scourged him. He had stripes all over his body. Do you know he put a crown of thorns on his head? They hit him with a fist. They slapped him. They mocked him. They spit on him. He was doing all that to give you this chance to be free from sin. And then they made him carry the tree of the cross to Calvary. Do you know when they got to Calvary, or the place of the skull, the place that he went, that they would drive nails in his hands and feet for you to be free from sin on your journey? You would need this blood. Do you know Jesus stayed on that cross for 6 long hours in agony, in pain, in shame, naked? He did all that for you. So on your journey, you could contact his blood. But you've got to believe that. Number one, someone has to tell you that story. I did. How he died. He was buried and rose again. He gave his command. He got up. Go in all the world and preach the gospel. That's what I'm doing this morning. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. You have to hear it and believe it. Two things. First two things you got to hear and believe. Hear the word of God. Believe the word of God. Hear the gospel. Believe the gospel. Number three, you got to repent. Jesus said, if you don't, you're going to perish. Luke 13, 3 and 5. You're going to die in your sins. John 8, 21 said, if you die in your sins, where I am, you cannot come. Number four, you have to confess Jesus to be the Son of God. Jesus said, he that confessed me before men, I'll confess before my Father. If you deny me, I'm going to deny you. So you got to confess before men. In other words, you could get on this call this morning, hit 5-star, not star 5. The star comes after the 5. 5-star. And say, I want to make this confession this morning on my journey. It'll be recorded in your book of life. That on July the 11th, 2021, Brother Tommy Brooks was your Ananias. And you were on your journey trying to find truth. And I made a confession with hundreds of people listening. And I said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That would be your confession. And then we will make the arrangement to get you baptized today, immediately, no matter where you are now. And I listen on it. We'll make those arrangements. You don't have to be in Houston for us to do it. No matter on your journey, wherever you are, if you're in Jerusalem or you're out there in the desert, as the eunuch was, or you're in Jerusalem as Paul was, God will provide Ananias. He provided Philip and he provided Tommy Brooks for you. And did I tell you what to do? Well, my record stands for itself. And so are yours. My answer is yes, I did. Will your answer be on your journey that you obeyed it or rejected it? So you can do that at the end of this call. You can be baptized. You can make this confession. I just told you what you got to do. And then the Lord will add you to the only church in the Bible. That is the Church of Christ. You can't join the Church of Christ. The Lord will add you to the church when you obey him. It's his church. Don't blow none. It belongs to him. But then you get in there, you live faithful. You live faithful unto death. I mean, if you have to die, don't ever deny Christ. Live faithful unto death, and heaven will be your home. To members of the church, I just want to close with this. What Paul had, he had gratitude. He was grateful before his death. In the end of his life, Paul wrote in, when he was talking to Timothy, here was his gratitude. He said, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 through 17, as I close. He said this. Here's what Paul said. All of us got a past, y'all, but we ought to be like this once you find the truth. He said, I thank God, Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious. I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. This is the Paul, of whom I was cheating. Paul recognized he did wrong in his past. And his gratitude was, God was merciful. And if you're on the call, you're still alive, you can have this same gratitude. No matter how bad you were in your past, God gave you a chance here through the nationwide conference call, Brother Brooks, Holly Heights Worship Service. You have a chance to hear members of the church. All of us got a past, but look what we found. It's important for us to be faithful unto death. Because in the end, when Paul knew that his day was up, his time was up, his journey was coming to the end. The Bible says, he said to young Timothy, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. The journey is coming to the end. I have fought a good fight. I finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth they're laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but all them that love is superior. We none of us know when the end of our journey is going to come. Paul knew they was getting ready to behead him. He would die. His execution. He knew he was going to die. And he told Paul. He told Timothy, I'm ready to die. The journey is coming to the end. But in the course of my journey, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And I kept the faith. That's how he's going to get his crown. The fountain is free this morning. How many of you all have gratitude on your journey? How many of you are ready for your departure? The journey is yours. There's a heaven to win and a hell to miss. There's a fountain free. If you want to be baptized, hit 5-star on your phone and let us know. If you want to repent, confess your fault, rather. You have to repent before you do that. Confess your fault. Hit 5-star on your phone. Brother Robert Smith will lead us in the invitation song. The fountain of blood is flowing freely from Calvary's hill. Fountain of flowing blood that washes sin away. Brother Robert Smith, lead us in song.